God Killer Peace and Death is an actual play of Divine Tragedy, made using the game God Killer First Blood by Connie Chang. General content warnings include discussions surrounding death, grief and loss, fantasy violence, imperialism, war, religious themes, and deicide. A full list of cast and crew, as well as other relevant links, can be found in the show notes. Viewer discretion is advised.
You have killed a god. A few days ago, you didn't even know what death was, and now you have killed a true divine god. And unfortunately, it seems that everyone knows it. There is a reason that mortals worship gods. Firstly, because they demand it. And second, because their power is absolute. Because they are masters of their domains, and because they cannot be killed. You have fundamentally altered the order of the world, Orchid Lullaby. You have unbalanced the scales that have held back war for centuries. Are you prepared for the consequences?
No. There's no way I could be ready for the consequences, as I don't even really think I fully understand what I've done yet. I understand the physicality of it. I understand that Tritus is gone. Our god, the one who has looked over our land for longer than I'm sure anyone can remember. I have no idea of the grander repercussions this will have. All I know is that I am going home.
When you get back into the wagon and Hayden's cousin drives you out of town, do you tell her what you've done?
Only if she asks. I don't think I'm in a talkative mood at the moment.
She asks, just how'd it go? Did he listen?
He didn't listen.
Shit. Maybe we can come back and try again?
No. No.
Do you think we'll be okay when the next fast starts?
Tritus is dead. I killed him.
She fully turns her head away from the road to turn around and look at you in the back of the wagon. That's not funny.
I know. I'm not looking at her. I'm sitting in the back of the wagon, staring out of the back as the temple gets further and further from view.
There's a moment where she considers asking what you mean, asking more questions. And then she looks up, and you can see the leaves of that tree that made the temple that used to be so brilliantly green against the sky, that used to be so vibrant, turning burnt dark orange. And she doesn't want to ask any more questions. So she turns back around and guides the horse.
I sit back there for the rest of the journey, kind of in shock. A lot happened very quickly. Some of it out of desperation, most of it out of rage. But even after it, a few things remain to be true. People are dying again, and we don't know what to do about it.
You have another day and night alone with those thoughts because you won't share them. And then the next day, as you approach Brookshire, you hear Catherine mutter, "What the fuck is that?" And looking up, there is a camp, I suppose you'd call it. Maybe a half dozen tents set up on the road outside of town. You see horses, carriages, not like this little wagon that you use to carry potatoes to the next town over. These are passenger carriages designed to move people in comfort. They are not so ornately decorated, but You do notice the blue curtains on the windows. You do notice the bridling on the horses. You do notice several robed figures with swords at their waists.
Are they just like in and around the town? Or are they around a specific place? Or are they just here, like everywhere?
They are pretty contained to this one little camp.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd guess there's maybe 15 or so people all told. It's hard to tell, you know, you can't see all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But just judging by the number of carriages, there can't be too many.
Okay. Are the colors, signage, or anything like that, can I tell if this is a group from Trita who might be coming here for reasons, or is this some other god's affiliation?
Go ahead, roll to recognize the signs of a god.
Ooh, okay.
You're not going to be adding anything to this.
That's a 9, 5 and 4.
Okay. You watch for hints of danger. You wonder if perhaps these are priests of Tritus here for revenge, but you left ahead of them. They wouldn't have been able to mobilize and get here that fast. You take another look at their robes and you see this intricate stitchwork. You can't read the runes, but you know from studying with Nonnally that they are mystical symbols, and you notice that several of them have tattoos on their hands, and when you can see under their hoods, their faces. These are oracles of Archaea, prophets, and their bodyguards.
And I remember Archaea being the one who sent me that omen before, right?
Yes, you prayed to Archaea for wisdom and insight, and you were granted a vision, which is rare for someone who has not dedicated their life to her.
Okay. If I recognize some of these as like guards and bodyguards, I assume that either Archaea herself may be here, or maybe, you know, a high ranking someone or other. Either way, I want to talk to them. So I turn to Catherine and I go, "Stay here, I'm going to figure out what's up."
Are you sure about that? They're armed.
I'll be fine.
Okay.
I don't think they mean us any harm.
Okay, just be careful.
Okay. First sign of danger, just book it to Brookshire, all right?
If anything happens, I'll go and get help.
All right. And I hop out of the wagon, and I head towards the camp.
You approach, and one of the guards spots you, walks to intercept you before you get too close. I suppose you wouldn't have ever had to deal with someone like this before. There's not like a town guard in Brookshire, but I think you recognize an air of authority as they hold up their hand to stop you. What's your business?
I kind of hold my hands up out of passivity. My name is Orchid, Orchid Lullaby. I'm from the town of Brookshire, you know, just over there.
Oh, so that's what it's called.
Yes. Are you all with the Lady Archaea?
We are servants of Archaea, yes.
Is she here?
No. The lady does not deign to interact in such physical manner.
I see. I guess I'm just wondering then why you all are here at my town in Tritus's domain?
Well, since you're a local, perhaps you can help us. We're wondering, Brookshire, was it?
Yes.
If you got a mayor or a chief?
Do we? I don't think we do. I mean, we might, I guess.
All right, you tell me.
I think we might just have, like, a town hall. Like, we've elected town council, essentially. No singular person has, like, all of the power. It's split between a number of elected officials. So, no mayor, nothing like that. There is the town council.
I suppose that will have to do.
Is there something we can help you with?
Yes, we'd like an audience with your council.
Okay. On behalf of Archaea or just yourselves?
On behalf of... Hold on, I need a name. On behalf of the Prophetess Lyra.
Sorry, I don't know who that is, but I'm going to assume it's important.
She is very important.
Can I vibe check this guy? Like...
Yeah, you can feel someone out.
Okay, yeah. What I'm trying to get clarity over is their purpose here. Like, yes, I know they're here for the Prophetess Lyra, but is it like bad reasons they're here? Does this person seem desperate? I'm trying to get any sense of like if they are malicious in intent or not. I think what feels welcoming on the surface here is this person's been pretty straightforward so far. You know, they've answered my questions. They were not nearly as antagonistic as either Tritus or the many priests of Tritus, treating me with basic human decency, which for the past 3 days hasn't been true with most people I've interacted with. So I think that's like, whew, good. Glad that this isn't immediately going to be antagonistic.
Okay. So that's what feels welcoming on the surface is, yeah, this guy is pretty polite. They seem to be under the impression that, like, whatever their situation is above your pay grade. And so they just want you to introduce them to someone more important. Can I speak to your manager, please?
Yeah.
I think what feels unnerving is that they knew where this town was, but not what it was called.
Hmm.
They knew to set camp on this road and didn't especially seem surprised when you showed up. Not like they were waiting for you specifically, but just like your arrival wasn't that much of a shock. And judging by how many of them there are, like I said, Brookshire doesn't have a town guard. I don't even think you know a person with a sword.
Yeah.
I think they knew exactly how many people they would have to bring to be a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they said they're here on behalf of the Prophetess. You get the feeling they already know how this is going to go.
There is something that I think kind of clicks for a moment for me, where internally I have the thought, why did they bring swords? Who are they expecting to fight? No one fights around here. There's no purpose to it because no one would die. I look at this guy and I ask, can I ask you a question from someone who doesn't live within the domain of Archaea?
Certainly.
Does your goddess often send people visions?
The oracles, yes. They spend a great deal of time in deep meditation and they beseech the goddess for wisdom and then spend time interpreting that wisdom.
Only the oracles?
Generally, but Archaea is vast in her wisdom. She sends her visions to the people who will need them most.
Do you happen to have an oracle with you all now that could help me discern a vision?
I suppose I could ask if one of the oracles is willing to lend you their time. But are you certain it was a vision from the goddess and not just a dream? Sometimes dreams can feel very real.
It was in direct response to a prayer.
All right, I suppose we have a bit of time anyway. They like glance up at the sky as they say that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if somebody has the time.
I'd appreciate it. And in return, I can make sure the town council hears your request.
So this guard is going to step away. As they do, two other guards stand up and sort of posture themselves so that they're between you and the camp. Again, not threatening you.
Mm-hmm.
The vibe that you are getting is that every move they take is to discourage violence by essentially saying, you won't win.
Mm-hmm.
And a few minutes later, the man you were speaking to returns, says, my apologies, it seems you were expected. and gestures for you to follow him.
I follow.
He leads you into one of the tents where some very basic furniture has been arranged. A small round table, some very simple chairs, and there is a woman with a hood covering her head. It says, "Hello, Orchid. Please sit."
"Thank you for receiving me." And I sit down.
"You can call me Lyra."
"Ah, the prophetess they were just telling me about."
"Yes."
"It's an honor."
"I should be the one who is honored, God Killer."
I kind of freeze for a moment. I see word travels fast.
"Faster than you might think. We've been anticipating this for some time, although the circumstances were unexpected. We were sure, based on the importance, that the God Killer would be from Adamance. But for you to be from here, this cursed town, is certainly an omen."
I wasn't even trying to do it. I didn't realize it was the thing that could be done, I guess. It wasn't my aim to kill him."
"No, of course. Who would aim to kill in a world without death?"
"I mean, who would aim to kill in a world with it?"
I see. You must not study your history."
"Not a lot of books in Brookshire. Or at least not about history."
"I suppose a town like this, you wouldn't know much of war."
"No, ma'am."
"Well, you would better learn quickly, because the return of death will beget the return of war."
Is that what the vision showed me?"
"Ah, you were shown a vision."
"Oh, yes, sorry. I thought, thought you knew. About 5 days ago, after Jareth died, when I was going to check in on my mother, I prayed for the first time in a long time, and it wasn't detritus, anyone who would hear it, really. And I think Archaea was the one that responded."
"I've been granted a great deal of insight into both the past and future of this world, but I don't know everything. If you want me to help you interpret your vision, you will have to tell me something of it."
"Okay. I tell her as much as I remember, which for me, Kendrick, is actually not a lot, but I'm sure for Orchid, it is burned into their mind."
Orchid remembers the hourglass, watching the sands begin to run, remembers seeing each grain of sand contain a life, and as it passes from the top of the hourglass to the bottom, watches as each one reveals the death that holds it. You remember that your mother was above the sand. You remember that even as the grains trickled down, she remained the very last. And you remember the glass beginning to crack. Do you reveal all of that?"
"Yeah, there's no reason for me to lie or hide anything, I don't think."
Lyra thinks for a moment and says, "It seems you were seeing death returning to its proper order, and yet that order seems to be threatened by something that would overturn it. But what connection does your mother have to death?"
"She got hurt a long time ago. I was just a baby, and it just never quite healed right, you know. Didn't kill her, obviously, then, but it's caused her a lot of issues over these years. And with things returning, I guess I'm afraid she might not have much longer. That her wound will finally do her in. I don't know, it's so strange. Everybody else heals after getting hurt. Wounds that would kill them, bones that would break, skulls cracked open because some dumb kid decided to play around on the roof and fall down, and it would just knock them out. But my mom just never healed for some reason."
Lyra's hood is thrown back as if a gust of wind has blown it off of her. Her red hair spills out She opens her eyes. You see brilliant gold, metallic, staring at you. And when she speaks, it is not the soft voice of the woman who you were just speaking to. It is an echo. It is a reverberation into your heart. She says, Chrysanthemum Lullaby is already dead. Chrysanthemum Lullaby has been dead. It is only through denial that she yet lives. It is only through the disruption of the natural order that she yet lives. And the order must be returned. Chrysanthemum Lullaby must die.
Hold on, what are you talking about?
Secrets, broken treaties, a child who should never have been born, a woman who should have been slain, a god who refuses to act. You must set it right.
Are you telling me to kill my mom? Because I'm going to tell you right now that that's not happening.
That is not enough. The sands have been stopped for too long. The sands must run, and they must run unobstructed, and the glass must hold. The hourglass cannot break, for if the hourglass breaks, there is no life. There is no hope. Find death.
What do you mean, find death? What?
Lyra's eyes close, and when they open again, they are brown, with dark irises and white sclera. They are a person's eyes as she looks at you again. And she says, these kinds of visions can be cryptic. They can have multiple meanings. So it might not be that your mother has any special significance to death. It could just mean that she's significant to you.
Hold on, wait. I need you to roll that back, because you just did a whole thing.
What?
You just did a whole speech about my mom having to fucking die? You said a lot. I'm sorry, I'm still processing past the fact that you basically told me I had to make sure my mom died, which again isn't happening.
Oh. Well, I didn't say that, but...
It came out of your mouth.
Oh, I believe you. That happens sometimes.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Kendrick or Kendo, whichever you prefer, your host and creator of Tales Yet Told. Boy, oh boy, are things tense right now. Orchids the bell at the ball, it would seem. These kinds of things happen after you slay a god. Let's hope all this attention doesn't get to her head, or cost her it. Before we return to see what Orchid decides to do after her conversation with Arkea, let's do some housekeeping, and a few ads. Stick with me, it won't take too long. Plus, I do just like talking with you. If you don't already, consider following us on social media at Tales Yet Told on Instagram, Threads, and Tumblr, at talesyettold.com on Blue Sky, and wouldn't you know it, that website also works, talesyettold.com. You can find us on any of these places to keep up with the show and everything else we have planned for in the future. Next, I've got a bit of a challenge for you. I want you to go out into the world and tell at least one person about our show. Word of mouth is genuinely the best way for our show to grow, so it would mean a lot if you could convince just one other person to check us out. Slide into their DMs, text your cousin, post on socials, whatever you've got to do, I promise you it makes the difference. Lastly, if you're looking to freshen up your wardrobe and support some independent artists, you can grab some of our merch at merchyetsold.shop. And I can sweeten the deal a bit by getting you 10% off your order when you use the promo code ORCHID. Now that all of that's out of the way, I do still have some show teasers and maybe even an ad. Kind of just depends on when you're listening. But regardless, here's a word from our friends over at Blumenblight in their latest season, Persephone.
What's up, racing fans? We're only a few months from the Hades Cup, Neo Oliva Bay's premier chassis racing championship. With their qualifier up next,
Cedar thinks it's time to get a little reckless.
Umbral appears in front of the entire track and fires a shot from her sniper rifle.
They go forward onto near all fours into like the Tron bike position, and it turns into a full gallop.
We need to find the gray box.
I need to go to ground zero.
Wait, what?
Is this where Carmen comes stumbling out of the hole in the wall?
I just got shot.
What?
If Team Persephone can't prove that they're the heroes of legend, then we're all doomed.
Oh, you have no good news today.
The gods awaken. They are coming.
Find Bloom and Blight Persephone anywhere you get your podcasts.
Now let's get back to the action.
Sound is an amazing thing, don't you think? It can guide the listener in subtle ways, drawing them into the story it tells, changing the mood, evoking an emotion, foreshadowing doom. There's a reason why we spend so much time here on Tales Yet Told, designing the soundscape of our story. But now you can do the same with Pocket Bard. Pocket Bard is a free audio app that helps game masters weave immersive sound into their games, with ready-to-use scenes, ambiances, and sound effects that you can transition through seamlessly with the touch of a button. And starting on June 27th, Pocket Bard is moving from your pocket to your PC with a new desktop app for Windows and Mac. Download Pocket Bard today and bring the power of immersive sound to your table. Jacket and boots the same color, or jacket and... Oh, hey! Didn't hear you come in. I was just designing one of my characters in Hero Forge. What's Hero Forge, you ask? Hero Forge is an online character creator that gives you the power to turn your imagination into reality. Hero Forge offers full customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, like hairstyles, clothing options, and equipment. And after you're done designing your hero, you can have them made in a variety of materials, including bronze, color plastic, or even a color standee if that's your vibe. Then get it sent straight to your door, all from within your browser. But if you're a DIY kind of person, then Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files so that you can 3D print your design at home. Just head on over to heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today. And check back often, because new content is added every week. Now, can you get out of here? I gotta finish making this Eagle Man. This episode of Tales Yet Told is brought to you by the folks over at MythWorks with their newest Kickstarter, The Wild Sea Sourdough. In The Wild Sea, you will set sail upon the Verdant Sea, an ocean of forest canopies full of lost world artifacts, treacherous pirates, and world-bending whispers. But the pale tides of the Sourdough are far harsher than the eaves you may be used to. This brand new supplement for the award-winning TTRPG introduces you to the White Woods of the Sourdough, the ancestral home of the sentient hive-minded spider colonies known as the Trellacrae. The Wild Sea Sourdough features three new factions, four new background options, and new ship options to prepare you for an adventure you may just barely survive. The Kickstarter is live as we speak, so go back now before it's too late. And I'll see you on the Wild Sea.
What happens when a chosen one decides he'd rather make pastries than fulfill prophecies? He opens a bakery. Absolutely No Adventures is an audio drama that follows Chosen One Sig as he dodges quests alongside his eldritch horror baking assistant and isekai'd New Yorker witch friend. In each bite-sized episode, he has a new epic adventure to avoid at all costs, while making friends and a few enemies along the way. Check us out on your favorite podcasting apps for breads, pies, cookies, cakes, and absolutely no adventures.
Oh. Well, I didn't say that, but...
It came out of your mouth.
Oh, I believe you. That happens sometimes. If you heard it, I'm sure it's true. I just didn't say it, so I can't tell you what it means.
Okay.
I apologize. I know it can be very disconcerting for people who aren't used to witnessing visions. As she says that, she's like pulling her hood back over her head. Honestly, it's confusing for a lot of new initiates as well. But whatever you heard was meant for you and was the truth.
You said that my mom had been dead for a while, but that a god's an action into, I don't remember what word you use, but a god is a reason why my mom's not dying and potentially why everybody else is not dying either.
Oh, if so, then that would make her very significant. Perhaps you should ask her about it.
I think I will. The guy outside said that you wanted to talk to people in charge of Brookshire.
Yes, that is still important. I mean, obviously meeting you is high on the priority list, but there are other reasons we're here.
May I ask what they are?
Food, mainly. This is rather embarrassing, but for the last couple of decades, most of us haven't really bothered with food. We'd have it from time to time, but it's just kind of a distraction when you're in meditation or in study. So we mostly just haven't been bothering with it. But
now that people are dying.
Yes. So we'll need enough food to feed the tower.
Was there anything you were planning on offering in return?
Oh, we'll pay you, of course. We have some funds. You know, we generally don't participate in the world, so we don't have a great deal. Protection, potentially, from the others who are going to be coming soon and who will be much hungrier than us.
Okay.
You know, as the god killer, you'd actually make an excellent ambassador. If you want to take that offer to your town council and let them mull it over, we should be joining you in a few hours.
All right, I'll let them know.
Excellent. And I do wish your mother the best.
And I get up and I leave.
Catherine is still waiting for you in the wagon.
All right, let's head back.
She clicks her tongue, tugs at the reins to get the horses going. She says, so do you want to tell me what that was about, or are you still feeling cryptic?
They're followers of Archaea, looking for food.
Well, food we got, so
they just want to talk to the town council and see if there's something that they can work out, I guess.
Lyra told you, you've got a few hours before they're going to come meet. You're not sure why she specified a few hours, but it seems like she's on a very specific schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So as Catherine drops you back off in town, what do you want to do first?
I'm going to go see my mom. I haven't seen her in 5-ish days. I also want to make sure that she hasn't died in that time. Yeah, the first thing I would do is to go check in on mom.
You take the path home, and something in your heart, something in your instincts tells you that she is alive. That omen, that prophecy that you heard, It's cryptic and weird, but she's alive. You know she's alive. As you go in the front door, you see several books open on your living room table. It looks like Tara's probably been spending her days here. And your mother's bedroom door is open. You see her sitting up in bed. She's got knitting in her lap.
Hey, Ma.
Oh, yeah, honey, come in here.
I slowly walk in, pull a chair over to her bedside.
What are you doing leaving home without telling me? Where'd you go?
My face, like, immediately kind of falls. I went to go talk to Tritus about the whole, about Jareth.
She frowns. What would you go and do a thing like that for?
I don't know, Mom. I wanted to help. I thought that maybe Tritus would see reason, show mercy.
And did he?
No.
I've told you before, we take care of each other, we take care of ourselves.
Yeah. You know, on my way back, Catherine and I came across some folk from the domain of Archaea. Some prophetess, Lyra was her name, and her guards. They want to talk to the town council about trade or something about food, but she helped me interpret this vision, I guess. There's no real other word for it that I had. Gave me lots to think about. And, I don't know. I'm beating around the bush a bit, I guess, because I'm a bit afraid of the answer, if there is one. But she told me that, you're supposed to be dead, that you had died a long time ago, and the only reason why you were still around is because a god intervened.
Your mother looks away from you. You've only seen this habit of hers maybe a half dozen times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a small child, and when you asked her about a missing toy, she turned her head to look away before saying, I don't know, maybe the fairies took it. And then a few weeks later, eventually turned up again. You remember once when you asked her why some kids were more mean to you than they were to each other. She looked away and said, oh, I'm sure they're just jealous, that's all. And now she looks away from you. She looks out the window. She says, I don't know what that's all about.
Ma, don't lie to me. I'm not some kid, all right? I mean, I'm your kid, but I'm not a child, all right? Just tell me, what is going on?
I didn't want it to be like this. I didn't want you to have to worry about things like this.
Ma, we're past that. Something is happening and changing about the world. Don't keep secrets from me, please.
When your grandfather died, my father, I was the only one there to bury him. It had just been the two of us, and I didn't know anybody to ask to help me, so I just did it myself. And then this woman, dressed in black, walked up to me. She took the shovel out of my hands and said, don't worry, I'll take care of him. And she dug his grave. She lowered him into the ground. She kissed his forehead. She filled in the dirt. And the whole time I watched her, I thought, I've never seen a person so gentle in my whole life. And she put an arm around my shoulder and said, it was okay if I needed to cry. And that was the first time I realized I hadn't let myself do it. So I cried in her arms, and then she carried me home, and then she stayed. And I don't know why, I don't know what she saw in me, but I liked being with her. I asked what her name was. She told me to pick one out, so I called her Iris. I knew that there was something about her, but I didn't know at the same time. Because they can hide it when they want to. When they want to look like us, when they want to be like us, they can. I don't think I ever fully knew the truth until the man with the sword came.
The man with the sword?
He meant to kill me. He would have killed me. But your mother, Iris, is the one who would have had to take my life. Because that is what she does. She decides when a life ends. She decided that rather than lose me, she would rather not take another life again.
So she stopped death?
As far as I can tell.
Why didn't you tell me? All this time, all these...
How would I have?
I don't know.
Would you have understood?
No.
Would you have known what it meant?
No, but I'd have a better idea. I guess. The prophetess told me that I shouldn't have been born.
Well, that's bullshit.
That the way I am, who I am, is the reason why all of this happened in the first place. This man with the sword, he came to kill you because of me, didn't he? Didn't he?
There's not a single day I've ever regretted you. You are the greatest joy in my life. And so, whatever prophets and gods got to say about it, I think it was a good thing you were born. I think it was the best thing.
How do you have to die because of it?
Baby, everybody dies one day.
Why?
That's the way the world works. People are born, they live, and they die. The way my daddy died.
Just because a god decides that?
No.
Just because some bastard that doesn't even see us as people gets to decide what happens to us?
No, baby, we've been dying since before there were gods. That's just the way it's always been.
But why is it just us? Why not them?
I don't know the answer to that. It's something about where they come from. She told me stories about the river, about how it keeps them powerful, how it's been drying up. So maybe they don't live forever. Maybe they just live longer.
I killed Tritus.
What do you mean you killed Tritus?
I went to Trita. I went to his temple and I asked him to show us mercy. The slightest bit of it. Anything. And he laughed. Called us insects. Things that needed to learn their place. To remember what suffering and what want was. And then he threatened you. He said he would come for you, and so I killed him.
Chrysanthemum pushes herself up out of bed. She grabs her cane and in her haste stumbles just a step. Says, all right, you can't stay. You can't stay. You gotta go. Come on, come on. We'll pack your bag. We'll get your things. Come on.
No. We don't have to run.
Orchid, this is not the time.
We don't have to go anywhere. Well, you stay here. These people from Archaea, they are willing to trade us potential protection for food. Especially since people are going to start going hungry.
You're young, so you don't understand.
And how would I? You didn't tell me anything.
As she opens her mouth to speak, you hear a crash, like a tree falling in the woods, but 100 times louder. You hear screaming. You hear horses. You hear hoofbeats trampling. It says, we don't have time to argue. We've got to go.
Ma, no, we are not leaving. Ma, stay here. And I run out to see what that was.
You step outside and you see smoke coming from the other side of town. You see the sky turning orange with flame.
Fuck. And I just start taking off down towards the town in the direction of the flames rising above the roofs.
As you start running towards town, a carriage cuts you off, pulls to a stop in front of you. The door opens and you see Lyra sitting inside. Says, okay, well, it seems my schedule was a little bit off.
What is happening?
War. Death begets war.
Who is coming for war already? It's just, fuck, get out of my way. I have to go help.
No, you need to leave, because if you stay, they're going to keep sending more troops.
Who is sending more troops?
Adamus, the god of war, is coming.
God.
The people here can survive if you leave now. If you stay, then another attack will come, and another, and you won't survive them all.
What, are they after me?
We'll talk about it on the road. Is your mother coming?
I turn back towards the hill that our house is on. Yeah, yes. I keep looking back and forth between that and the flames high above. Oh, God. Against all of my better judgment, I go back home. I start running back to grab my mom.
You come back inside and see that your mother is just throwing everything, clothes, food, anything she can grab. She's just throwing things in a bag. She's not thinking about what is going in it. Come on, hurry up.
I'm helping, like tears streaming down my face as I'm helping pack things that anything that we might need and grabbing them up. And I tell my mom to wait here while I start taking things to the carriage and then helping her out of the house and towards the carriage.
Okay. I think this counts as doing as you're told.
Yeah.
So when you do as you're told, say how you show submission and answer one. The GM will give you a glimpse of their true intentions as they answer the other. So you can choose how are you rewarded or what vulnerability do you reveal?
I think the vulnerability that I reveal is that I truly do not understand the scope of what is happening. And there is so much that is happening so quickly that I cannot process. Anyone who feels like they have the most competency in this moment, I am just like, I will do what you say because I have no idea what else to do right now. I am out of my depth.
Yeah. And here is how you are rewarded. As you help your mother into the carriage, as the guard from earlier loads up your bags, you shut the door and begin leaving town as fast as you can. And as soon as you are on the road, there are other horses flanking you with the other servants of Arkea. You watch as, at first, you can't even really tell what it is. It looks like fire and smoke and blood on the horizon. But gradually, you see those are the soldiers of Adamas. And you hear a horn sounding, and you realize they don't care about Brookshire. They don't care about the people there. They don't even care about the food. They see you fleeing with Arkea's prophets, and they rally their forces to come after you. And the chase begins.